Blog Talk Radio.
I'm in beast mode. 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 Beast mode. Beast mode. Beast mode. I'm in beast mode.
The king's people talk is who we are. Excuse my yelling, man, I'm kinda working on my roar. While the world tries to persecute me, the line of Judas with me, nothing you can do to me. If he be lifted up, he'll draw all men. Covered by his blood, hashtag all in. I'm suited up, man, I know you hear the armor clanking. Walking, fighting against the spirit, no time for fleshly banging.
No time for fleshly
banging. Ain't got no time for the naysayers. I can do all things, cause I'm strengthened by my savior. Heal the sick, raise the dead, and make the lame walk. But you gotta fast and pray, I tell you, dog. That's kingdom talk.
Kingdom talk. Kingdom
I've been
talk.
Saved and I ain't turning back. Turn going back. Hard for the kingdom till the day the sky cracks. Like
crack.
Eternally. Man, can you picture that? Paid for by the cross that he bore on his back.
On his
the
back.
Kingdom being preached sea to sea and coast to coast. Powered by the Holy Ghost.
I'm in beast mode. I'm in beast mode. I'm in beast mode. I'm in beast mode. I'm in beast mode.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Kingdom Talk Radio. You know who this is, man. It's your humble host, Tony Dyson. On the scene once again. Got this little cough that's still trying to get at me. But we're going to keep it pushing tonight anyway. Got a great show lined up tonight, man. Called the Spirit of Witchcraft. Just going to talk about some things, man. And looking for your feedback. Don't forget right now. Excuse me. If you're streaming, you can call 347-996-5129. You can always email me at KingdomTalkRadioShow@gmail.com for show ideas, for comments. Also, while the show is live on the air, you can always Facebook me, inbox me, whatever the case may be, with your questions, your comments, or your smart remarks. But before I go any further, giving honor to God, whom every day I make the head of my life, to my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, from whom all blessings flow, my pastor, Bishop Anthony Taylor of the New Hope Worship Center, to my wife, and all of you that continue to listen to Kingdom Talk, week in, week out. What's going on, people? Man, it's been a great week so far. God is still in the blessing business, man. Got a promotion that came with a transfer at my job. Started yesterday. Things are going well. And I'm like 3 minutes from the house. So praise God for that. So what's been going on in your week, everybody? Hope it's been blessed. Excuse me. One thing that I have learned in the course of life is to embrace my victories and bounce back from my defeats. I know we all have dreams and aspirations and things that we want to do, and things that we're trying to do. And there are times when we feel like that we're not getting where we're supposed to go. And I believe wholeheartedly that we need to embrace the things that keep us going day in, day out. Those little victories, man, those smiles on your family faces, the sense of gratitude you get when you get up in the morning, man, and you thank God. Those little, excuse me, you all, those little subtle victories can get you to the next level. I think many times we look at our life from too far off. You know what I'm saying? And we try to capture everything in one glimpse. And I believe that you really have to look at individual situations and circumstances in order to very much appreciate where you are now versus where you were. You might not be where you think you should be. And many times we measure ourselves by where other people think we should be. But I'm telling you from personal experience, excuse me, no matter where you are in life, how high up you are, how down low you are, how much of your goal you have accomplished, how much of your goal you don't have accomplished, somebody's going to have something to say. So wherever you are right now in your current situation, your current role, embrace it. Be the best you that you can be. And if you love what you do, keep doing it with a smile on your face. Faint not. All right? Bet. So I got to get myself in order, man. Like I say, you know, it's crazy because I really haven't been coughing all day. All right, y'all. It's crazy because I really have not been coughing all day. And as soon as I get on the air, here we go. But we're going to go ahead and cut to this episode of Can I Holler at You? And we'll be back on Kingdom Talk Radio very, very shortly. Here we go.
What up, y'all? It's another Tuesday. Praise God. We still in the land of the living, and I'm trying to find out, can I holler at you? So I'm curious, can we follow the leader? So just a little background. I'm hearing a conversation, two women, and the one woman is saying that she goes to a different church than her husband. She says that her husband's pastor, she grew up with him and has a hard time sitting underneath him because of how they grew up. She also proceeds to say, as we dig a little deeper, and you know, at this point in time, I'm listening, I'm observing, I don't want to, you know, just jump really in, but as they keep going back and forth, and the other young lady is telling her, well, that is the old him. If he's been called by God, you shouldn't have any problem sitting underneath him. And so by this point in time, you know, I gently intercept the conversation. Darrell Revis did. And I said, well, we're new creatures with a new way of thinking. So the same way that God forgave him for whatever he did previously, as he called him into the ministry, is the same way that God forgave you for your sins, filled you with the gift of the Holy Ghost, and allowed you to one day enter into his kingdom, become a kingdom citizen. She also went on to say that where she does get the word from, that this particular pastor has openly admitted his flaws, because she says that men are men, and if the right skirt comes along, they're going to do what a man does. So again, my new comment is, well, if you feel that a man is going to do what a man's going to do, and your current pastor, you're telling me, has admitted in front of the congregation his wrongdoings, then why won't you go sit with your husband and serve the man of God that he has chosen to lead your house? Because the difference is, now they might both be doing wrong. We don't know. But we do know for a fact that where you sitting at, he living foul. Now, I also heard recently somebody say that they have never sat under the fivefold ministry. And my thought for the previous story I told, as well as that comment, was if the leadership or teachings, et cetera, if they start at the head and trickle down to the body. Now, when I say the head and the body, now I'm talking about a leader, a pastor, a bishop, and the body being the congregation. Okay. So if leadership, teachings, et cetera, if they start at the head and trickle down to the body, what are you really learning? And I heard people go on to say, well, you know, you can't eat at everybody's table and this and that. And with all things considered that I previously stated, I had a different look at that comment. And I kind of thought to myself, you know, yeah, you I guess in a sense you're right. You know what I'm saying? You eating at different households. But if you ain't eating the same thing that I'm eating, who is your chef? You know what I'm saying? What's the recipe that they using at your house? Because I'm here to tell you it's only one God, one faith, and one baptism. So if you're not getting fed where you are, the same thing that somebody else is getting fed, and they're eating well, and they're getting fat in the spirit, they not on milk, they on meat, you got to ask yourself, who is serving y'all? Who is y'all chef? Because the recipe did not change from one restaurant, the church, to the next church. The meal is issued the same. The only difference is, similar to your household where your whole family will eat the same meal, when you have a two-year-old, you might cut their food up in little bitty bite-sized pieces, remove all of the bones so it's easy for them to digest. When it comes to the eight-year-old, you might simply give them the same amount of food, leave the bone in, whatever the case, but still cut it up to where it's manageable. So on and so forth. Everybody's getting served the same thing. You just make it easily digestible based upon somebody's age in the natural. Well, same way. It's the same word of God. It's the same food. You just break it up so that somebody can digest it based on where they are spiritually in age. But the recipe did not change. I also was kind of disturbed at how can we sit in the same natural house, but then sit under two different spiritual houses? See, now that starts to talk about, and this happens all the time. Now this starts to deal with a division in the spirit and in the natural. Because first off, you don't even trust me to lead this house. The man is the head of the house. Now, I'm not saying everything he says goes and everything he says right, but the natural order to everything is the man is the head. He is in charge of that. So if you do not trust where he is leading your house spiritually, are you not in rebellion towards the order that God created? If you have a decision not to sit under as a sheep or refuse to follow the head in your house and who he has established to be the shepherd over your house, is that not rebellion to the order that God created for the natural flow of things? And you wonder why your household is in the condition it's in. Wonder why? Because y'all going to two different places, eating two different meals. You coming home full from off of different things. You getting two different feelings. Not F-E-E-L-I-N-G. I'm talking about F-I-L-L-I-N-G. You're getting two different feelings. Somebody getting filled with the Holy Ghost and somebody getting filled with the uh-oh. We all know people that's filled with the uh-oh. Those them people that when they come around, what you say in your head? Uh-oh. Listen, you cannot serve two different, you know where I'm going with this, y'all. You can't serve two different leaders in the same house, get to the same place together, to ultimately try to seek the same God at the same time. Where God is pulling me, where this house is going, y'all might not be doing that over there. So we can't flow in unison because you're not willing to sit under my authority as the priest of this house. As I sit under somebody in God's house that leads me as he is the shepherd to lead God's people. So if there's anybody out there in radio land and you know that at 10 a.m. on Sunday, you going to Greater Mount Missionary, whatever, and at 11:30, the other person is going to first whatever community service, whatever. Y'all need to have a conversation today. Y'all need to start praying together today. And I'm going to tell you what, until you get an answer from God, do not take your behind to nobody else's church if your husband has not directed you as a unit, a family, to sit under that authority and that teaching. Follow the leader.
All right. That was pretty deep. Pretty deep. Pretty straight. I mean, it was straightforward. A house divided against itself shall not stand. Praise God for Darren, man, for always bringing something juicy up on Can I Holler at You, man, and many more, many more, many more. So I just really looked over this and looked through this. Next Tuesday, it's actually going to be the 5th year anniversary of Kingdom Talk Radio. Year number 5, man. Ridiculous. It's crazy, man. Just the things that this radio show has been through, the hiatuses that I've had to take, the people that I've had on board. So, once again, not next week, because I'm going to try to get some planning in, but I will announce it next week. I want to do another anniversary show for the 5-year anniversary, man. Just invite different ministries on, give them a couple minutes on the air, you know what I'm saying, and just help support different ministries that we've supported or even new ministries. So if you're catching this for an archive or whatever the case may be and you know someone that could benefit from being on Kingdom Talk Radio, hit me up, you know, tell them to inbox me, whatever the case may be. But we're getting ready to be 5 years, man, and God has continued to be at the forefront. We thank those of you who tirelessly support, that continue to listen in, week out, that understand when, you know, we can't get the broadcast done. But, you know, I look at over the years that we've, you know, tried to grow. We've tried to bring other, you know, ministries under the Kingdom Talk platform. Many fell to the side. Many supporters fell to the side. But we still stand. So I just really thank God, man, just for continuing on. So Darren kind of hit a couple of things tonight, man, and it's really right in tune with the title on tonight, The Spirit of Witchcraft. So if you look up witchcraft, it says the art or practices of a witch, sorcery, or magic, magical influence, or witchery. Interesting. Now, if I pull up the word magic, it states that it's the art of producing illusions as entertainment by the use of sleight of hand, deceptive devices, by conjuring. The art of producing a desired effect or result through the use of incantation or various other techniques that presumably assure human control of supernatural agencies or the forces of nature. Pretty interesting. And lastly, another word is witchery. It is magical influence, fascination, or charm. So with all these definitions that I just gave, influencing, seeing that you can control someone, and I was going to play a song, but while I'm not coughing all in the mic right now, I might as well just go ahead and get it done. Last week, when I talked about, you know, the role of the church, I brought up witchcraft. Now, the thing is that with witchcraft, it is used to produce a desired effect. Now, what we really have to look at with a desired effect, it means that we or someone has already had an outcome in mind. And no matter what you do, the situation is already set up for whatever outcome that person wants to have happen. Now, the thing is that if we're not very careful and understand the basis of salvation and faith, that many people can presume our faith in God can be considered as witchcraft. Now, what we have to understand about God is that he made us in his image and his likeness, and he gave us power. We lost it. Jesus came to restore it. Even though God may know the outcome of every one of our lives, we still have the ability, and let me make sure that I say this correctly, we still possess the ability to alter our life. And someone may say, well, how is that possible if God already knows our beginning and our end? I believe that there is a path to life. Just like taking a trip to your local grocery store, depending on the way that you take, the route that you take, the street that you take, and the transportation, whether you ride a bike, whether you ride a hoverboard, whether you ride a skateboard, whether you take the bus, whether someone transports you, whether you call a cab, whether you drive yourself, whether you walk on your hands, you know, whatever the case may be, there's a route and a path that you may take to this local grocery store. Depending on the type of method and route, it would determine how long It is before you get there, but nonetheless, at the end of the day, you will arrive at that destination. You heard me say, walk on your hands. See, man was created to walk upright on 2 feet. There are certain people who have possessed a ability to be able to walk on their hands. They can flip, and I want to say flip upside down, so to speak, and literally walk on their hands. Now, I must admit, for someone like me that knows nothing about walking on your hands, that if I went to my local grocery store, which is a Shop and Save, it's probably about a mile and a half from here, maybe a mile and a half, and walking on my hands, it would be a very, very difficult road. And it's probably going to take me a very, very long time. Instead of using what God has blessed me with, which is these 2 feet, to walk to the store or even run. A lot of times in life, we do a lot of hand walking, meaning that we may be getting to a destination, but we're taking the most difficult approach to get there. And as I stated a little bit ago, headed to the Shop and Save that's by my house, there's a straight shot. I come out my door, I make a left, I go around the bend, I make another left, I make a right, and the store is right there. I could choose to come out my door, make a right, go about a half a mile up, make a left, go a few blocks up, make another left, and maybe about another mile down, hit the grocery store. I still got there. It just took me longer. There are about 5 or 6 different ways that I could get to this one. It's one store. And depending on the path that I take, it will take me through various terrain. One path that I take to this grocery store, if I'm walking, I may have to go up some hills and down a hill, and I may have to cross some streets and wait for a stoplight and wait for traffic. So I had to kind of get that out the way, because as I'm explaining witchcraft, and I do understand that God knows our beginning and our end, but the thing is, yes, God has a preferable outcome for our lives, but he's not manipulating our lives to get his desired outcome. All right? So here we are in a day and age where church and pastoring and being in ministry and being a minister is the latest hype. It's the latest thing to do to go off the grid and, you know, start your own church and have your own following and have your own congregation. And look, let me say this. If God has called that individual, there's nothing, and I mean nothing, anyone can say about it. However, what I have noticed in the process of individuals pastoring and running churches and leading churches, at some point in time, during that process, there is a me factor. Now, what I mean by there's a me factor, it means that the individual or a group of individuals that have chosen to start this church, they now have a way that they want to do things. They want the choir to dress a certain way and sound a certain way. They want the musicians to play a certain way. They want the congregation to dress and praise a certain way. Everything has to be catered to them. To where you're having ministry meetings 6 out of the 7 days of the week. Now, let me put a pin right there, people. If you are able to do outreach 7 days or 6 of the 7 days a week, then God bless you. But as for me, and this may be personal and it may be selfish, and if it is, I do ask God and pray to God to help show me. But I'm a firm believer that, number one, if you're a husband and you're the head of your house and the priest of your home, your family, the ones that you have said to God that you are responsible for, that is your first ministry. And not everyone is blessed or in a position at this point in time to either have their own business to where they can do what they want to do when they want to do it, or put enough money to the side, you know, to not have to go to work anymore, or put enough time in that they can retire and not do anything. But the thing is that I'm starting to see more and more is that some churches are becoming so intrusive on your day-to-day life that it becomes more of a routine, because this is what this person has in mind, how they want their church to be like. I've heard of situations to where husbands may be working and working their assigned jobs, and the women and the wives and the children will go off to service. And as the women and the children are off to service, sometimes, you know, when you go into some churches, you see it's full of women and children, and we wonder where the men are. And men, if you're catching this live or you're archiving, I'm asking you one thing. Know who is speaking over your family. Know who is speaking over your children. Know who is influencing your household. Flat out. Now, and is if the man is, you know, working a job to where he's there one Sunday a month or whatever the case may be, then things start to become prevalent to where that ministry or that person in charge is now influencing the wife to make calls and make decisions on the spot type of decisions without consulting her husband, who is the priest of our home. Now, there are certain situations to where if God places on the wife's heart to do a certain thing, then of course. And now, please, 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 don't take this the wrong way. The same thing can happen on the other side of the fence as well, to where husbands are getting into agreements and getting into situations, excuse me, without involving their wives. Then when the budget of the home is out of whack, and just because things have not been discussed, it is out of order for us men as well. Now, keep this into mind. I've been married a little over 11 years now. And probably back and forth between the wife and myself, 90% of our transactions, of our whereabouts, we inform one another. Hey, honey, I went to the grocery store. Hey, honey, I bought me a new hat. Hey, honey, I bought me a new pair of shoes. I mean, there are instances to where I seen something, and I bought it, and my wife was like, oh, when you get that? Oh, you know what? They had this on sale such and such a place. Or, you know, my wife has something, you know, that I didn't pay attention to. Hey, when you get that? Oh, babes, I bought this shirt, you know, whenever. But the thing is that our communication is there to where we never make, you know, I'm not going to buy another car without, you know, consulting her. I'm not finna make a major purchase, you know, without letting her know. I'm not finna make a major move with our finances without letting her know. But however, nowadays, it's like in church that there's this type of spell that is being placed upon our minds, upon our lifestyles, to where it seems that some churches want to dictate every action you make. They want to dictate what you eat, how you eat it, what you listen to, how you listen to it. Is it Bluetooth? Is it headphone? Is it speakerphone? You know what I'm saying? And yes, I'm being a little facetious, but I'm really telling the truth. What are you eating for dinner? Is it steak? Is it lobster? Oh, if you eat steak, it has to be this way. If you're eating lobster, it has to be this way. If you drink milk, this is when you got to hold your cup. People, believe it or not, there are some churches out there that want to dictate every faculty of your life, all the way down to your sexual relationship with your mate. And now, what we start to see, many times I believe that people are awestruck by charisma and not by anointing. And the thing is, watch this, like seriously, watch this. The thing is that when there's an anointing present, a change, a genuine change takes place. And that genuine change that takes place, it has an effect. Something in that individual, whether it's their mindset, their speech, whether it's their walk or their action, something changes. And as we were talking at my church on this particular past Sunday, the devil can cause you to have an emotional reaction to music and to singing just as well. So we really have to be on the lookout for our actions and our motives. We have some churches nowadays that has ATMs in the sanctuary. You have to turn in your W-2s and your tax returns, and sometimes before you can join the church, you have to turn in paycheck stubs before you can even become a member. I have never seen that in the Word of God. There are some churches to where if you're not making every service, every ministry service, every auxiliary service, that you're not considered a member, because those are the house rules. There are some churches to where the charisma of that person leading the church has such a strong presence. Let me put this into example for you. Right now, one of the hottest basketball players on the planet is Steph Curry. You got Steph Curry. You got Russell Westbrook, you got LeBron James, you know, you got the normal run of the mill. And you have our young guys that are watching, you know, these guys play ball. And each one of these players have mannerisms, whether they flop after a play, the way that they shoot, their celebrations. You know, they have mannerisms about them. And over time, our young people begin to pick up their mannerisms. Now, these guys are very talented to play on the stage and play at the level that they play on year in and year out, day in, day out. But our sons and sometimes our daughters mimic them. It doesn't make them anointed. It makes them talented, and our children are starting to mimic them. There are some preachers out here that are trying to get people to mimic them to showcase an anointing. They're just trying to build their following so they can boast within themselves. So what they start to do is put out cliches, double for your trouble, and whatever the case may be, to get our brain wrapped around the way that they want to teach us and the way that they want us to learn. The word says that you weigh that Matthew 7:15. It says that beware of wolves portraying sheep. And see, the thing is that when they start giving us teachings and start giving us a piece of the Word of God, and they start giving us a portion of the Word of God, that's one thing that you really, really have to watch. Because if they're just giving you a piece and not breaking down the whole meal for you, yes, even though the word does state, study to show thyself approved. Sometimes people have an angle when it comes to teaching. You don't believe me? I'm not going to call anybody out in particular. But there are some churches. Actually, I'm going to take me a sip of water before I do this right quick here. There are some churches that you may go to, that you may see on TV, that you may hear about, that you may see on YouTube. And every time this particular pastor or ministry comes on TV, it's all fluffy pancakes and puppies. Yeah, I said it. Pancakes and puppies. Because everything is all so good. Everything is all so great. And God just loves you. And God just wants you to acknowledge Him in your heart. But the thing is that when you watch these particular ministries, what's the angle? They pump up your self-esteem. They pump you up emotionally. So when it's giving time, you'll feel better about yourself and you'll give more. Some churches are even teaching the gospel of give your way out of debt. And they throw scripture in there. Before somebody call in and attack me, the word does say it's better to give than it is to receive, which I understand wholeheartedly because I'm a giver as well. But this is the thing. The word says God loves a cheerful giver. So if every time that we give, we're always looking for something in return, now our mind has been transformed and our mind has a false sense of what it really is. God's word has been twisted and perverted, and now it's witchcraft, because now what this person has taught you to give your way out of debt, so now you're coming to church, you're not being a good steward of what you have at home. You're not managing your finances, but you're coming to church trying to give your way out. This pastor, this person of God, or this person that's preaching, let me just say that, has now influenced your behavior to give more to the church, because at the end of the day, they just wanted an addition to their home. So they've taught you the wrong principle and the wrong concept, and now there's a misconception of the principles of God's word as a whole. And you want to tell me that that's not witchcraft? You have some ministries that teach women that if your husband ain't, you know, doing certain things, whether it's financially or whatever the case may be, to hold out. Y'all married folk know what I'm talking about. To hold out. When that's totally against God's word. Because you're no longer one, no longer two separate beings. You're now one. The wife belongs to her husband. The husband belongs to the wife. But there are pastors and people telling, you know, her, to wives to hold out. They ask for your husband for what you want. And then, you know, give in until the next time you want something. That is that not the definition of witchery and witchcraft and magic that I just explained earlier? An individual involving you in a situation, but they already have a desired result. It's kind of like when someone comes up to you, you know, when you're at a circus or, you know, a magic gathering, and they say, pick a card, any card. Anybody that knows how to do any type of card trick know what I'm talking about. You, in your mindset, you already know I'm going to make them pull the two of clubs, regardless. Put a pin right there. That's just one card trick, man, that I learned. And it's really just a it's a card setup. You would separate the cards into two decks. You have all the black cards in one deck, and you have all the red cards in another deck. So the way the trick would work is you would hand someone the left deck of black cards, and you'll tell them to pick a card. They'll pick a card, you'll put that deck to the side, and you will have them put that card into this deck, which was the all red cards. So now, in what world are you not going to know what the card is? So, when that card is inserted to the deck, you know, you'll flip the deck over, you'll shuffle it, you'll fan it out like you're looking for the card. And out of people's amusement, you know, you may get one card wrong, you may get two cards wrong, but that red card in that black deck is standing out for you. You have produced a situation, you have produced a false situation, a false circumstance to get a desired result. And that's what some of the preaching is coming to nowadays. Because the pastor wants another car, or he wants to buy the first lady a new house. Now, all of a sudden, every Sunday is about giving. On TV, it's always about giving. And I understand, but I'm finna say this. Where's the fire and brimstone preaching? The repentance. Not the, oh, God loves you so much. But the thing is that you can love God as much as you want to love God, but if you don't have a repentant mind and you don't have a repentant heart and your actions do not change, guess what? It's not going down in that fashion. See, a lot of times churches are turning Ponzi schemes on us. They are attempting to woo people into the kingdom lifestyle, but not give them any principles to follow. All they continue to do is dangle these scriptures in front of us. My Father can supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. the cattle on a thousand hills. My Father has a mansion over in glory. They're dangling all these scriptures in front of us with no understanding. And then they talk about give, 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 give. And you see nothing in return. There's no growth in your finances. There's no promotion at your job. Now, don't get me wrong, man. The word says that there's a time and a place for everything. That means that there may be a season upon that particular ministry to where they're talking about giving. God has placed upon that household, hey, this is the season to give. But every time, every day, every Sunday, 52 Sundays a year, there has to be something else to coincide with the picture. Yes, I believe in giving, but I believe in fasting and praying. I believe in speaking in tongues with evidence thereof. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I believe that he's coming back. I believe in the supernatural, in the spiritual, let me say. But the thing is that if we're not learning how to communicate with our Father, if we don't understand what Christ did for us, and we're letting someone else dictate our lifestyle and dictate our mindset and dictate our marriage and dictate our money just based on what they want to tell us, we're sheep headed for the slaughter. You got some pastors in big churches, they're making clones of themselves. If you look at every other preacher on their roster, the preacher has hair like them or doesn't have hair like them, beard like them, suits like them, shoes like them. Their wives look like that main pastor's wife. Their cars mimic that pastor's cars. Their houses mimic that pastor's houses. They eat the same thing. They talk the same way. They have the same mannerisms. But where is the mindset of Jesus in all of that? And I thought cloning was illegal. The word says, have the same mind in you, not bishop, reverend, deacon, doctor, so-and-so, have the same mind in you that was in Christ Jesus, not this mega ministry minister that you saw on TV and you're trying to mimic that. People of God, it's a treacherous time right now to many are walking around gallivanting, cloaked in witchcraft. We got to speak against it. We got to call it out. And the crazy thing about it is, we're at the day and age to where some of these people that don't even go to church call it out. They're calling out the witchcraft because God is showing them his true self in all aspects. We see people give honor to their man and woman of God, and I'm not saying that that's not appropriate. But somehow God is being taken out the picture. We're learning about the word of God, and we're supposed to study and eat and gnaw on it daily. But then when someone asks us a question, it's, my pastor said, versus it is written. We're learning how to answer questions based on how someone wants to teach us. We're being equipped with the wrong thing. We have to open our understanding, understand who we are, what we're designed to do, and what we're capable of. And at the end of the day, people may have a desired outcome upon your life or on your life, what they would like to see happen. People may have a favorable situation that they want to see you in. They may have a, excuse me, when you're single sometimes, there may be a husband or a wife that someone may like for you to be with. But the thing is, at the end of the day, when they start maneuvering things on their behalf and not for your good, when they're influencing the outcome for their own gain, it's witchcraft at the end of the day. It's out here. Be on guard. Be aware. I hope that you all enjoyed this show tonight, man. The spirit of witchcraft. And there are some other things that I'm going to call out, man. But I want you all to do something for me, as I've talked about witchcraft. I want you all to find passages in your word about it, man, and just read up on it, not just by what I'm saying. Read up on it. Arm yourselves. Study to show thyself approved. Knowledge is power. And the word says that we perish for the lack of knowledge. Word says that if we, that are his people, that are called by his name, shall humble ourselves and pray. But many people don't want to humble themselves. It's all I, me, me, me. God bless you all, man. God keep you. There's a listener. A very faithful listener for Kingdom Talk Radio for at least the last 4 years that stays in Louisiana. I will not put her name out there, but she had to have emergency heart surgery. Over the last few years, this young lady has been through some trials. She's been through some situations, but God continues to bring her out over and over. Well, actually, you know what? Yes, I do want you to pray for her by name. Her name is Sister Stacy. Pray for her by name. Call out her healing in the name of Jesus. Let's go before the throne for prayer. Father God in heaven, we come before you right now. We thank you just for who you are and what you have continued to do for us. We thank you for watching over us day in and day out. We thank you for being a stronghold for us in our time of need and a place of safety and refuge. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for being a provider. Thank you for being a healer. We thank you for being a doctor and a lawyer. We thank you for your Holy Spirit, oh God, that truly divides your word, that teaches us, that guides us, that empowers us. Lord, we ask that you continue to watch over us and lead us in your way of understanding and knowledge and in truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Always remember, y'all, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith without works is dead. Once again, Darren Johnson, man, they let me holler at you. Was on point tonight, man. I appreciate you. Appreciate you all continue to listen to Kingdom Talk. Finally had my wife on for a change, man. She has other things going on. God bless you, wife. I love you. We'll be back next Tuesday night, man, 7 o'clock, and we'll talk about the anniversary show. So mark your calendars. Share the show. Inbox questions, comments, and smart remarks. Remember, man, I love you. It ain't nothing you can do about it. It's Tony Dyson signing off. Until next time, God bless you.